That's after he had sat down at the Father's right hand, finishing the work. That's good. Amen. That's a big deal. And he stood for Stephen. Well, it's good to have everybody with us tonight. And we'll talk about a few controversial things. I know it's unusual, but we're going to try to do that tonight. If you have your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Folks, you surely know the Lord Jesus is controversial. Oh, yeah. He is very much so. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. 1 Corinthians 1, 17. The Apostle Paul says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." Now, that's a very confusing thing if baptism is part of the gospel. But continue. "Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And you are saturated with it day in and day out."
Amen.
"The wisdom of men. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God." He chose that method. They could never find him. "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. He manifest himself through the word. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, and to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. And it is to this very day. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called." And of course, the reason is because he doesn't need their wisdom, because the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. So the wise men of this world are nothing but fools. He said, "Brethren, God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God," now watch carefully, "is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And I, brethren, came, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified."
Amen.
Father, bless this word. In thy name we pray. Amen. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they'll not hear." The Holy Spirit confirms and affirms the word of God. I'm simply a messenger, folks. That's all I am. This word is not my word. It did not originate with me, though I believe it. It is the Word of God, and it is authenticated by the Holy Spirit. The thing that differentiates us from the people who are religious, who meet in cathedrals, is a simple fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is everything there is, plus nothing, minus nothing. And he is exalted in this house. If the Lord Jesus Christ is exalted, then the Holy Spirit will be active in power. The Holy Spirit will not bless a lie, a fabrication, hypocrisy, a put-on thing, a facade. He will not bless heresy and ecumenicism, humanism, and all the rest of the isms. He will not bless anything except that which exalts the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. And the reason that preachers and churches are so bankrupt is for the simple reason that they do not exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. They exalt one another. They exalt their ministries. They exalt their churches. They exalt their movements. They exalt their whatever, this and that, so forth. But they do not exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Now, that lifting up of Christ took place at Calvary, yes, but it also takes place when Christ is preached. This is why the Apostle Paul says, I know nothing among you but Christ and Him crucified. Now, the book of 1 Corinthians is loaded. The 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he said, I declare to you the gospel, that wherein you stand, wherein you believe, how that Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures, was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and at one time, after His resurrection, was seen of over 500 brethren. That's authenticity. That's documentation. That's 500 people at one time saw Him after His resurrection. As I said before, if the Jews could have produced a body, they would have a heartbeat. And if they could have produced a body, Christianity would have died dead in its tracks. If they had had the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, had not He risen from the dead, you would not be a Christian today. It would never have gotten out of the first century. You would have been over with, been finished. But you see, He arose. And when He arose from the dead, then He entered into an entirely different world. And everything, and what He did by doing that, everything that He said was true. Now, you know, when people dialogue, they dialogue about, say, for example, a dialogue is, here's what a dialogue is. Let's say we have two people with differing views, but they want to come together. They want to come together in agreement about certain things so they can get something done, right? They have differing views. The truth of the matter is you're going to find out in this earth that there aren't going to be very many people that agree with everything you say. And if you agree with everything somebody else says, they're thinking for you. So a dialogue is when two people come together, or two movements, or two groups, or two things come together who do not necessarily agree on everything, but they want to be agreeable for purposes, for whatever reasons they may have, in order to form a more perfect union, establish domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, so forth and so on. You know where those words came from, don't you? They came from people who came together but did not necessarily agree on every point. That's a dialogue. A dialogue was necessary for the Constitution of the United States to be drafted. A dialogue was necessary. All those men that signed the bottom of that Constitution, John Hancock, for example, that big signature down there, you don't believe for a minute now all those men believed the same thing, do you? But they had a common purpose. They had a common goal. They had a common good. The common good was to establish a nation. All right, so they had to dialogue. All right. So the dialogue is the idea that you have differing viewpoints, but you have a common purpose. This is exactly what religion wants to do with the Church of God. They want a dialogue. Are you what? Are you listening now? They want a dialogue with us. In plain words, you know, they want to come together, and though we may not agree on everything, we can become agreeable so we can work toward the common good. You see the point? But here's the problem. The apostles in the New Testament said, neither is there salvation in any other. Though there's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. There's no dialogue, Peter. You're not going to dialogue? No, I'm not. What about with the Jews, Peter? Sorry. Jesus Christ, he said, Jesus Christ, neither is there salvation in any other, nor the name whereby we must be saved. Now, that is orthodox, but that's called a hard line position. And the reason for that is because there's no dialogue. I'm not dialoguing with anybody about who Jesus Christ is. If you want to dialogue with me about who He is, I don't know you. Amen. And you can call yourself a Christian all you please. I don't know you. Don't know your God. Don't know your church. Your crosses are meaningless. If you do not believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is God Almighty, the God-man, virgin-born, pure blood, the pure, sinless Savior of mankind, if you don't believe that, we have no dialogue. Amen. All right, that's what it's about. And I said all that to prepare you for this. Now, these are the words of these people, their own words. And I'm going to use this as an example because this is certainly not universal. In other words, they're not the only ones. But this is an example. Pope Paul VI to Sri Chinmoy, a Hindu, quote, "Your message and my message are the same." Now that ought to raise some red flags with you.
Yeah, amen.
Now what's going on? Well, here's a couple of things could be going on. A Muslim, if you study the Muslim religion long enough, you'll find out that it is perfectly fine to lie. It's perfectly fine to lie. Because they say they have a greater good and they have a purpose, they've got a goal, and to deceive you is fine. No problem. So it could be that the Pope is deceiving these Hindus and trying to dialogue with them so that he may gain some ground. But I don't believe that's the case. I believe that in the sense that the Roman Catholic Church feels like that it is definitely the dispenser of the gospel and the keeper of earth and the watcher of men's souls, that they can speak in that connection. Now listen carefully. Special blessing, John Paul II, Hindus, 1986. John Paul II to the Hindus, 1986. Special blessings to you and your members. We shall continue together. It's Hinduism's spiritual vision of man furnishes enrichment for human living. Hindu's spiritual vision for man offers an enrichment for human living. All right, do you believe in the Kundalini yoga where you have a snake wrapped around the coil of your spine that rises up over the top of your head? Is a dispenser of wisdom. It's a chakra point. You've got them throughout your body. And these points represent power points in your body and points of knowledge, gnosis, to come into contact with the light. And that only true wisdom in this earth is the wisdom that's dispensed by this serpent. When you sit in a lotus position and you've reached the point in Kundalini yoga to where you become one with that serpent and it literally takes over your body in a tantric position. Do you believe that? How does that enrich mankind? Let me tell you, the only thing that will enrich mankind is the gospel of the grace of God. That's the only thing, folks, because that's what man needs. He doesn't need yoga. He needs the gospel. Man's problem is not physical. Your problem is spiritual, and there's only one that can heal the human soul, and that's the Lord Jesus. Now, I'm not going to read a lot of it, but let's look at a couple more. John Paul II, 1993. John Paul II, 1993, quote, "We seek common ground with voodooism. We want positive and cooperative relationships." All right. Let Brother Barry tell you about the voodoo priestess down there in Haiti and how that they oppose the preaching of the gospel and how that they make a racket and try to create a diversion when they're trying to preach the gospel and have a Christian meeting. That's what's going on with voodooism. Is there common ground? Is there a dialogue? Is there a place that we can begin to dialogue with the voodoo? No, folks, there is none. The Democrat Party just recently now, they haven't officially done it, but they're going to, it becomes their platform. In other words, it's the position of the Democrat Party in this nation that they will support sodomite marriage. And they're doing this strategically in preparation for the elections in November, no doubt about it. I believe that it may very well be the hand of the Almighty causing them to show their hand before the election in November. To give whatever might be left in the churches of God of Democrats and give you a fair warning before November that if you go into a poll and push a button for a Democrat with their position is pro-sodomite marriage, then you are anti-family and anti-God. You say, I wish you'd keep politics out of the church. Now think about it for a minute. Somebody said, why don't we just come together and worship God and let every man take care of his own political position? Let me ask you a question. Is your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, does it determine everything about your life? it will determine who you vote for too. A local pastor here in Knoxville, I heard him on his radio broadcast a couple of days ago. I was listening and I caught him and he was talking. And he made this statement. It's a good one. He said, and he was talking about the pressure the churches are under now and the culture wars that's going on. And, you know, you got to be living in a cave not to understand that. Folks, they're trying to destroy the very heartbeat and culture of this nation. But in any event, he said that I got a letter. He said, I got a letter from the ACLU. And the ACLU said to me that I had better not get up in front of this church and start indoctrinating or warning or, you know, whatever I need to do to tell people who to vote for this coming November. Or they will, and whatever their threat involved, some threat had to do probably with the 501(c), tax-exempt status of the churches. And I'm good for him. He says, it doesn't make a difference what ACLU says to me. He said, I'm going to do my job. I'm a pastor.
Amen.
And I have to teach you. I have to lead you. I have to show an example. And so I respect him for that. I have great respect for him. Now, let's take it a step further. 1913, in Jekyll Island, off the coast of Georgia, some of the top bankers in the country, and probably the world, if the truth was known, gathered together under the greatest of secrecy and created the Federal Reserve System. The Federal Reserve System is not a part of the federal government. That's a misnomer. The Federal Reserve System is a privately owned corporation for profit. I know that the head of the Federal Reserve has to answer to Congress. I know that. But still, it is a privately owned corporation for profit. And lo and behold, it's quite a remarkable thing that right after that, a income tax was instituted in this country. It's amazing how coincidental it was, an income tax. And with that income tax that was brought down on the American people, and nobody voted for it, believe me, they would never have voted it in. How many of you like to raise your taxes? 50%, raise your hand. So what happened was that it started out, innocuous enough. There's no big deal here. We've got an income tax. Back in those days, folks didn't make a whole lot of money. They didn't tax that much. But it got to the point to where the Internal Revenue Service became an all-seeing eye and a big brother over everybody in the country that was tax-exempt, including the churches. And they began to lay down regulations and rules for tax-exempt organizations like the churches. And with that, they held this, they call it the sword of Damocles, wasn't that what it's called? That hangs right over his head. That hangs right over their head. And in other words, at the least moment, that's going to fall and cut you off. In other words, the bottom line is this, folks. They're not going to tell you you can't come to church. They're going to do this. They're going to close up your church if you have violated your tax exempt status. I say the churches would probably be far better off to hand that tax exempt status back to the IRS and say, you didn't start the Church of God. You don't tell us when to meet and when not to meet. Keep your hands out of it.
Amen.
That's right. But you see, the bottom line is that tax deduction is a big deal on your income taxes. So here's the bottom line. With the ability to tax is the ability to control and intimidate. That's what they're doing. That's what's happening. And the ACLU is their watchdog. And of course, I could get into a political thing tonight, and I won't, because some churches have been doing this for decades. They've been picking out their own candidates, and you all know who I'm talking about. Decade, year after year after year, and they never say a word to them, never have, and never will. And you and I both know that's pure hypocrisy. The only ones that are going to come after are going to be people like you, and that's what's going on.
Yep.
I'm glad of this, that black pastors got together somewhere and had a meeting and said, Mr. Obama, we're not going to support you in this gay marriage thing. And I say, God bless them and hallelujah for them. And you need to pray for those men and say, we're supporting you 100%.
Amen.
Amen.
And we went by Chick-fil-A today over there on Emory Road, and the parking lot was packed, and they were lined up out there on Emory Road. I've never seen as many people in my life at Chick-fil-A.
Amen.
And everybody had a big smile on their face. They love chicken today.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And I've heard that all the other Chick-fil-A's around South Knoxville and the rest of them were the same thing. I looked over at my wife and I said, "Do you know what these people need? They need a leader.
Yeah, they do.
They need a leader. They need a leader. If they had a leader, he or she could bring out of them what's necessary to fight this stinking devil that's trying to destroy this nation. They need a leader. They need a politician that talks like a preacher." That's what they need. That's right. And so pray for Mitt Romney, because when he was in Jerusalem, he made it plain over there, "I am pro-Israel. I will support Israel," and made no bones about it. And that's the way it's going to be. They call them Christian Zionists. You're not voting for Mitt Romney as the pastor of the United States. You're voting for him as president. I don't have to agree with him theologically for him to step in and try to do something to stop this juggernaut that's about to run us all under. So we're faced now with a moment of decision. It's what's called the time of truth. The Midwest is in a drought. You're going to see it when you start buying beans and corn and potatoes. It will come down to us. They're going to have to ship food in here from out of the country, because the Midwest is in a horrible drought, and it's not getting any better. But I would say to you tonight with all of my heart that if the Christian churches in this country said we're going to repent and get right, we are.
Yeah.
The church, judgment begins first the house of God. Yeah. We're going to repent, get right with God for getting on this liberal bandwagon for our bellies, and that's what they've been voting, their belly. God's going to let their belly go hungry.
Yeah.
We've been riding this liberal bandwagon for our belly. We're going to get off of it and get right with God. And we're going to pray for rain. God would send rain. I firmly believe it. I believe He'd send rain. I do. It will be just like it when Elijah went up to the top of Carmel and prayed. And he bowed himself down and prayed and had his servant there waiting and looking. What did he say? That servant went out and he said, and Elijah said, "Have you seen anything?" He said, "I see a little cloud. A little cloud. Like a man's hand." He said, "Get up, I hear the abundance of rain." And away they went. But he had prayed first that it rained not, and it didn't for 7 years. How do you know, folks, that that drought out there in the Midwest is not an answer to prayer of those people, those Christians out there that have been praying for this nation and saying, "Lord, send a drought, get their attention"? How do you know it's not? How do you know that's not a direct answer of prayer of God's people out there that have been praying? That's never crossed the mind of the liberal. But I'll tell you this, if those people will start praying and get right with God, God will send rain just like this nation has been blessed.
Amen.
America has been blessed. This nation has been blessed. Folks, I've been all over this world. I have been everywhere in this world. I've been on every continent outside of Australia. Is Australia a continent or not? It's a continent, isn't it? Yeah, I haven't been to Australia. But I'm practically everywhere. And when I come back to this nation, I walk into America and I look at this country and I think to myself, my goodness, man, what makes us so different from everybody else? We've been blessed. We've been blessed. There are places in this world, folks, when it gets dark at night, it's dark everywhere. They don't have any lights. And you got them everywhere in this country. We got homes, we got cars, we got jobs, we got food. We got clothes. God's blessed us. But they've turned a deaf ear to Him. And now this thing with Chick-fil-A is an opportunity. It's a confrontation. That's exactly what it is. This coming Friday, the perverts will come out in force. They've already threatened, and they're going to have a kiss-in. Now, I don't know if any of the news media covered what happened today. Did they? Local or national? Did they? I haven't seen much new. Okay. Because I guarantee you they'll cover what happens Friday.
Yeah, they will.
You can be certain of that.
Yes,
and they'll be looking for anybody that does anything to the Sodomites.
Yeah.
They will be. They will be. God, somebody said that this election in November is probably the most critical election this country has ever had. I'm going to say it is, folks.
Yeah.
And if you know anybody that calls themselves a Christian that you think is going to go in there and vote a Democrat ticket this coming November, I want you to pray about that person and talk to that person and say, you better get a grip on what you are, because it can't be any clearer than what's going to happen. You got to be really dumb in November to go in there and vote for a Democrat when their position is going to be pro-sodomite marriage. That means you're pushing the button to approve of sodomite marriage. Don't come back to your churches and pray for revival.
Amen.
And camp meetings. Amen. Forget that garbage. There ain't going to be any revivals.
Nope.
You want a revival? Get right with God for the kind of stuff that's been going on.
Amen.
Yes,
sir. We sent a bumper sticker the other day that said, oh, Christians for Obama. We were headed somewhere. I thought if we were headed somewhere, I would follow them everywhere they went. I would confront them. Christians for Obama.
It's just like that thing I read to Sunday school Sunday morning. You remember the thing I read in Sunday school Sunday morning? That little snippet that I took out of a website where this guy was talking about, he was talking about gay marriage, and he was saying, Jesus didn't say anything about gay marriage, and Jesus didn't say anything about this and about that. He said, God's not interested in about stuff like that. He's interested in about big things, about love, and this and that, and this and that, and so forth and so on. Spin, spin, spin. And that is the most nauseating thing in the world, is to watch somebody that has a limited knowledge of the Bible do that. Who wrote the Old Testament, folks? Yeah, but you say, God, who are you talking about? Jesus did. He wrote the Bible. Jesus did. He didn't say anything about sodomy? Go back to the book of Leviticus and read what he says about it. Go to Numbers chapter 13, verse 33, and see what he says about it. Oh, yeah. Yes, sir, buddy. He said something about sodomy. Make no mistake about it. So, anyway, That's where we stand. I'm not Numbers 13:33. I misquoted that. That's where they said we're grasshoppers in their sight. I get these scriptures run together in my mind sometimes. I don't know whether I'm coming or going. All right. Now, let's go down here and find out what the Catholics believe, since this is the kind of thing they've got. Okay. All right. 1989. 25% of Catholics don't believe in any life after death. Hello?
Amen.
That's 1989. I wonder how high it is now. I remember when I was in Ireland. Ireland is a beautiful country. It is a beautiful country. And our guide said, you see that building right there? I said, yeah. He said, you see right behind it? That's a graveyard. I said, yeah. He said, that building is a pub. They drink and get drunk in the graveyard. It's right in it. The pub is in the graveyard. What is that? That's mockery. That's the idea, you know. I'm here today and I'm gone tomorrow. I'm going to live life with gusto. You know, you only go around once in life. The idea is 25% of the Catholics don't even believe in life after death. Why are they Catholics? Why would they go to Mass? Listen to the figures. 45% are agnostic. It's 1989. That's almost half of them. Not even sure if there is a God. 55% say they can reject any Catholic teaching and still be Catholics. In France, 49% of the French said there was no resurrection of Jesus Christ. 60% said there was no heaven. 77% said there was no hell. And 75% said there was no devil. Assisi, Italy, 1986. 100 world leaders from major religions, fire worshippers, snake worshippers, evolutionists, meeting with witch doctors and sodomites, said they were all praying to the same God. That's truth. That's truth. They are. They're not praying to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are praying to the same God. You see what I mean about a dialogue? Here's what happens. If you don't exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, all right, let me, how can I say it? Let's say, for example, everything you believe about anything, about heaven, about hell, about salvation, about righteousness, about redemption, about eschatology, and all these things, they don't mean anything if you don't exalt the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because the Holy Spirit gives no meaning to them. When the Lord Jesus Christ is exalted, everything else has meaning because it relates to Him.
Amen.
You take Him out of it, and it's just a bunch of religious mumbo-jumbo.
Right.
If you take the Lord Jesus, His exaltation, out of it, my friend, you can go to a Buddhist and you can go to a Hindu. You can go sit down at a voodoo meeting. You can go in and do anything. Because essentially, if you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, you're just another religion. But with Him, you're separate. And you're the body of Christ. And He loves you like He loves nothing else. And He's coming for His bride. And He'll appear the second time without sin into salvation for those that look for His appearing. You're His body. You're His bride. You're His love. And we're going to exalt Him. That's all I care about. And anything else I study, and I read so much stuff, sometimes I wonder where I am. I've got so much stuff piled up right now for Sunday school this coming Sunday morning. I've got stuff that you need to hear. You need to hear it in Sunday school this coming Sunday morning. But if I didn't have the Lord Jesus Christ, if I didn't have the Lord Jesus in my heart, that stuff's nothing. Fact is, it's confusion because there's no anchor. With Him, you have an anchor. Without Him, you don't have a clue. Father, in Jesus' name, glorify Thy Son. As You said there at the Jordan River, I have glorified Him and I will glorify Him again. Lord, glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, the blessed Savior, the blessed Lamb of God. In Thy holy name we pray. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen.